Welcome everybody once again to the Magic Table. JJ, this Magic Table, this is a sacred space, right? Like that's the idea behind the Magic Table, that we kind of bring anything to the table and sort of talk about it.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So, sorry, you were making me nervous with that whole
the whole setup. That's my only goal, is to like kind of put you on edge at the beginning.
Great.
So that you, you know, respond throughout the episode, you know, heighten level of anxiety.
Great. Whole time. Yeah. Sounds lovely.
Something I've been thinking about a lot this week, and I posted about it. I've been reading this this book by Pete Scazzaro about emotionally healthy spirituality. And as somebody who is in the learning process of sort of figuring out my own emotions and learning emotional intelligence very slowly and awkwardly, I was reflecting on sort of how the church and how my experience, and I'll say this, my experience in the church has been that emotions are very, very downplayed, and rational thought is sort of the peak of sort of human existence. And then emotions are, you know, gonna like sort of lead us astray, I guess. Would you say that you've had a similar experience in the church in general?
Oh gosh. Can I say it's hard to remember?
Sure.
And I just think my journey is very different. I feel like I've always had more of an emotional.
Yeah, but I even think at our church, for instance, you were always known as the woman who cries.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically anytime you got on the microphone.
Still.
Basically anytime you cry. Yeah. And I just feel like when people say that, even being well-intentioned, aren't congratulating you for having emotions in front of other people. Like it can, like in the church, it feels very shameful a lot of times to cry or maybe have emotions. Is that
yes
accurate?
When you frame it like that, I'm like, oh yeah, I have come to terms with that's how I interact,
right,
as a human. And so I forget that like I didn't actually always feel okay with it. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Certainly.
Being my therapist.
Well, I'm not trying to necessarily prove that that's the case. I just feel like it just seeps into a lot of how we kind of think about who we are and how we interact. And like emotions can be really scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think what's interesting to me about this Magic Table specifically, I think sometimes like we'll have an idea that we kind of process together and we have some things that we think we want to cover. But a lot of times we're like, hey, here's this topic. These are my thoughts. What are your thoughts? Okay, let's sit down and have a conversation. And I feel like at this point, we're a couple weeks in of like, oh, I've got more thoughts.
Right.
Oh, I have more thoughts.
Well, you're a professional at emotions.
Yes, that's that's what it says. JJ Blanford, emotional. It should say emotional professional.
It should. It could go either way. Just, you know, she could be a professional who's emotional or, you know, somebody
who
helps
also
people
true.
With their emotions. It works on many levels. But your job a lot of times is to walk people through and help them have emotional intelligence. True?
Yeah, or just better understand like how emotion fits into life and who they are as humans.
Yeah, I get this general sense, and maybe this is coming just from a dude's perspective, but I just get this general sense that people, and I've always been like this, it might be easier to walk through life without emotions. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't really had like thought about my emotions throughout most, a lot of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Having emotions is horrible because you feel things for like long periods of time. It was so much easier when I could just like reason my way out of having any emotions and sort of move along with my life and pretend like the emotions didn't exist. But like sitting with my emotions and like feeling things is so, just wears me out. And it's hard.
I mean, I don't think that's because you're a dude, but I just think
there
are, it is hard work, but I think it's really meaningful work. And I don't just say that because I'm a therapist, but I do think, I don't know. I think it's one of those things that, like, when a human decides to be emotionally healthy, it impacts their relationships. And so to me, it's one of those places as a therapist that I envision having a ripple effect, that I'm working with one client who's getting healthy and I get to see that one person come to health. But I also know so many of their relationships change because of that. And like, sure. Right. There are ripples that I just never know because one person chose to be healthy. And so I think it's so important for us as humans to have that emotional understanding and intelligence for ourselves, but it also impacts the world around us. And I think, like, especially in a church, you know, any organization setting, but in a church setting, emotional health and emotional intelligence is really, really important.
And we don't talk about that as a church, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What do you see as the repercussions in people's lives of not having emotional intelligence?
Gosh.
That's just like a huge question.
That's like a huge question. But I mean, I think like there's a myriad of things that it can be. But I think, like, off the top of my head, just thinking through, like, it can be really hard to be in relationships with people if you don't understand your own emotions, or if you haven't learned how to, like, I think part of emotional intelligence is being able to know, like, oh, what made me feel that way? How do I navigate that in relationships? And so if you're someone who comes to therapy because all your relationships end up broken, romantic or otherwise, you know, like, what's that about? You know, and is it just because you don't understand emotions? No, but that it just plays a role. And so, I mean, I think in marriage work, not understanding your own emotions can be really detrimental to a marriage. It's also huge in parenting. And so I also feel like emotional intelligence is like this, like, buzzword kind of thing, but it's just really, again, I'm biased, but it's really important to, like, understand and name emotions.
Yeah. And it's just never been part of my life up until, I mean, we've been married coming up on 16 years, right?
Yeah.
And only recently am I like, okay, I'll give in and, like, try this emotions thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's never been a real priority for me. And I think a lot of my education, like, theologically and, you know, I'm educated from the Bible in a theological perspective, that never crossed into anything emotional. In fact, emotions were seen as really bad. Like, if you can't bring emotions into how you view the text or how you think theologically, because emotions are going to mess you up and sort of lead you astray, right? And so emotions are things to be gotten rid of, like, the height of sort of doing theology is cold, calculated, and emotionless, like robotic in some ways.
Yes. And my counter to that was, hello, have people read the Bible? Like, have we learned about Jesus? He wept when Lazarus died. You know, that was always, like, the easiest scripture to memorize was Jesus wept. But, like, we see his anger in the temple when he turns over tables. We see sorrow. We see, like, even interpersonal relationships with Jesus, of, like, when Mary's like, you know, turn this water into wine. And he's like, I don't know about that. You know, just this, like, I said, as we were having one of these conversations, I think so much of why we don't bring emotion into church is because we don't understand Jesus as humanity. We choose to see Jesus as God and not as human. Because I think when we see Jesus as human and we're looking at him with that lens in scripture, you can't help but see that Jesus was fully human and had emotion. And so why we run from that boggles my mind. I understand why we do, I guess. But it it also just doesn't make sense to me because I'm like, just read the Gospels and you see that Jesus had the whole spectrum of emotions. And so if we want to live lives that are Christ-like, why would we assume that that means removing emotions from that?
Right. Well, and yes, very much so. Like, I think we do have a major problem in not actually seeing Jesus as human. And in a lot of ways, Jesus was the most human. Like, he lived the most human life possible because it was without all of these struggles that we have in ways, you know. He lived the human life. And when we diminish his humanity, I think we miss out on a lot of things. But the whole Bible's emotional. Like, I think the Psalms are an easy place to be like, David's having a lot of emotions and he is not afraid to express them throughout the Psalms or any psalmist, but we run from that in our own lives a lot of times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and right. I mean, right. Go Old Testament. Like, I think about Moses, like he's the first Bible character that came to mind, but I'm like, we see he had emotion and he's consider this person we like look to and learn about. Like, there are so many like heroes of the Bible that their stories are full of emotion, but we don't often use that lens to look at them because emotions are complicated.
Yeah. Well, and even bringing emotions into worship, right? Like, I mean, you go into a normal white church and it's like, good Lord, is anybody like actually alive in here? Or, you know,
well, and I also think it's complicated, right? Because yeah. I think worship in particular, like there can be this manipulation of emotion to get people to experience a feeling, which of course that is not what we are talking about.
Right.
And I think if we believe that we are created and we are image bearers of God, to think that like emotions aren't a part of who we are created to be just seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah. If it's an aspect, like God created us with an aspect of ourselves that we're supposed to like sort of shove down and just ignore, right? At the penalty of like, and it speaks a lot to our society of post-enlightenment scientific sort of mentality, you know. The way we go about life is very like scientific. It's rational. Like and I think a lot of times we don't even understand that it's a water we swim in, you know, and our whole lives can easily sort of become caught up in that idea that the only thing that matters is reason, and that somehow reason and emotions are like complete opposite ends of the spectrum, like a mm-hmm. juxtaposition, when a lot of times becoming a whole human means bringing all of those things to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do about it?
Well, what is it? How does somebody go about becoming emotionally intelligent?
Well, you know, my short answer is always you should go to therapy.
Therapy, right.
But I mean, I think part of it is even when we were talking about this, like what I think part of it is it's work, and it is easier, as you were saying, to like, or it feels easier to go through life without feeling emotions. But I mean, I think it can be as simple as like, right, for the most part, people can acknowledge like happy, sad, angry, right? Those are like even things we teach our kids. But it's just even trying to broaden that for yourself. Like so often with clients, you know, they'll come in and say like, I'm so angry about X, Y, and Z. And as we process it, sometimes it's that reflecting back of like, you know, you were saying angry, and what I'm kind of hearing as we talk is hurt or disappointment or, you know, insert another adjective here. And I think sometimes it's just like moving past like happy, sad, and angry and realizing like what is, right? You could like Google emotional wheel and what will pop up is tons of images of a wheel that's are like cut into pie slices. identifying all different emotions. And so if you are like, I have no idea, this sounds interesting to me, Google that. And just even trying to identify for yourself, like, what are some other things that I'm feeling? Or how are some other ways to express myself? That's a great place to start because it gives you a lot of emotions to choose from.
Well, even like recently in some of the books I've been reading and talking through kind of what people are experiencing in the pandemic, like I have discovered several other emotions that I didn't even know were a thing. Like that acedia I showed you the other day. That's an ancient emotion where it was like just not feeling. I'll link to it. It's like a whole really interesting article about it, but just like noontime, like being down, like during the day, basically, like for no, seemingly no reason, you know? Mm-hmm. I think back through early in the podcast in a book called Boundaries for Your Soul, mm-hmm. by Allison Cook, I believe, that she talks about when we're experiencing those things, right? Like we have anger. It's basically sort of like, what is that trying to tell you? Mm-hmm. Right. And we all know anger is a masking emotion.
Yes, we do all know that.
That's literally the only thing I know. but anger a lot of times is masking other emotions behind them. Right. So instead of like feeling an emotion and trying to suppress it, we feel an emotion and we think, what is this emotion? What is my body like having, like being mm-hmm. angry or whatever, what is my body trying to tell me about where I'm at right now? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about this in prepping of just like, we try to cut out emotion, but emotions are like indicators of where we're at. And so we need to be listening to our emotions because they are saying like, you are sad, you are, you know, whatever, and trying to figure out what's that about. Like, you know, part of it is right now we're in a pandemic. And so I think people are feeling like, well, I can't, it's been going on for a year. I can't still feel A, B, and C. And my question is always, why not? Like, right. Why? What in your life has changed that these things like wouldn't still be okay to feel? And so I think sometimes just acknowledging that emotion is just being like, oh, things aren't okay still, versus, well, the pandemic has been going on X amount of months, so therefore I must feel a certain way. And so, I mean, I think part of that is that attunement to yourself of like, what is this emotion trying to tell me? What's behind this right. emotion? And then addressing that versus like, I'm just so angry, you know, trying to figure out like, why are you angry? How do you make a shift around that? What needs to happen to like address the emotion versus just stuffing it?
Yeah, that's a lot to ask, to be honest. No, it's hard. I mean, even my spiritual director just drives me crazy because I'll talk about anything and he's like, well, what emotion would you put to like what you're experiencing right now? I'm like, come on, do I really have to do this? You know, it's so annoying, but it's so helpful at the same time. Like even I think of one of the easiest examples is when I'm parenting, right? The things that set me off are just ridiculous sometimes, you know, it's like, but like, why is what they're doing right now like making me feel this way, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, what does mm-hmm. that say about me? Or, you know, but those relational, like you can't have good relationships with others without understanding your own emotions, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think kind of bringing this back to the conversation around church is, it feels tricky because it's hard to acknowledge our own emotion, but then to have the vulnerability to go to another person and say like, I feel hurt because you blank, or I'm feeling fill in the blank because, you know, it's really vulnerable to show up and say like, whatever it is you need to say. And we're really, especially with more challenging emotions, like we rarely have issue being like, I'm so happy you brought me dinner, brought me coffee, invited me to your home, whatever. But it's almost like we choose emotions that we feel comfortable with. And they're usually things that we associate like as positive.
Good things. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And then those more challenging things are harder. Like back to the crying. I always say I've had one client in my years of doing therapy who didn't start crying and immediately apologize.
Yeah. Why is it shameful to cry? Right.
Right. And like everyone. And usually if people are crying in my office, like it is something that warrants tears.
Right.
And so even this place of like, it's okay to cry. Like maybe that's where you start of like, I joke, but I mean, I often tell my clients, like, I believe tears are healing. Like there is a reason that God created us that when we feel this emotion, we have something that goes with it. I don't know why God created us in that way, but like when people experience certain things and tears are generated, that's how God designed us. And right. So why are we so ashamed of that? And then it's almost like, well, we put that like if someone died or you're in pain, like those are okay reasons right. to cry. But like then we create this other like rubric of like it's not okay to cry. And I don't know. I just keep talking about crying because I feel like it's pretty easy and people have very strong feelings about it. But I've yet to have people come to my office and grow in their emotional health and intelligence and be like, that was really a waste of my time. Like, right. I wish I wouldn't have spent this time with you. And so I think like bringing that, it just brings health into church. It brings health into relationships. It brings health into families. When we start acknowledging like, hey, we all have these emotions. How do we figure this out together? And so I think it's really important work.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's mind boggling. And this Pete Scazzaro in his book talks about how much of his life he was a pastor and had no emotional EQ whatsoever or intelligence. And like how many people sort of drift through their everyday lives are functional. And I'll put functional in quotation marks, are functional human beings and just like suppress every emotion that they have, you know, just because that's sort of what they've been taught or whatever, you know? And how long is that really sustainable?
Not long. Well, or maybe like it is, but there's not the fullness. I mean, yeah. Again, going back to this idea of Jesus, and you look at like relationships, even with his disciples, like he had hard conversations with them that I think you read scripture and you can read emotion in to some of these stories. Yeah. And so to think that we would walk out our faith in a way that was just a void of emotional interaction, that relationships would like bring emotion. Like,
yeah.
Again, it boggles my mind that people would think like, oh, it's totally fine to just walk through life without and to be in deep relationship with people and not have an emotional aspect to those relationships.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, emotions are throughout scripture and we just kind of maybe gloss over that, like not seeing these people as like real people, you know, yeah. But maybe trying to glean information as opposed to sort of understanding the like the setting that they were living in and sort of how they were operating. So what does it look like to have a more emotionally healthy church? I mean, what would that change about like the way we function, you know?
My first thought was everything. And I think it is totally like a top down way that things need to be done. I think it, what is his name? Rich?
Villados.
Shared something about like, I wish there were more pastors just talking about their experience in therapy and how they are addressing their own stuff. And for me, it was one of those aha moments of like, yeah, a lot of people, I mean, you can go back to our episode about Christians not doing therapy and their views on therapy. But I think, like, what if just as a church we normalized that, like, if you can't figure this stuff out, you should see a professional.
Right.
Like, that would change church. If we welcomed people in their fullness of emotion, that would change church. And I think whether when we welcome people in their full emotional state, that doesn't mean healthy. Like, if we could look at people who were emotionally unhealthy in our bodies and say, like, we love you so much, we want you to get help that you need. And I also realize, like, those are hard conversations to have. And, right, like, if the church isn't the group of people saying that,
right,
who is? Right. And so if there was just this normalization of, like, it's okay, you can love Jesus and go to therapy, I don't know. I feel like it would change church.
Yeah. I think about just all the abuse that's come out recently about pastors and, you know, high-end Ravi Zacharias, for instance, and just, like, that stuff would not be allowed in an emotionally healthy church, I don't think. You know, like, a lot of the abuse that we see in church, not only of women, but, like, how many pastors do we know who have been abused by the people above them or whatever, you know? I see the consequences of a lack of emotional awareness all around the evil aspects of what we see in the church today. You know, I mean, all those things come from somewhere. Our lack of emotional intelligence just has consequences for everything that we do. And when we devalue that over and over again, we're going to end up with a church a lot like what we see right now, I think.
Well, and I think maybe to that point, I don't know. But there's also this, if you're not acknowledging those emotions or you don't like how they feel, you might be prone to numbing those emotions. Right. You might be prone to unhealthy behaviors. And I'm not saying if everybody goes to therapy, like, it's all rainbows and unicorns. Right. And I also believe, like, a lot of people do unhealthy or out of character things because that's just easier than acknowledging some of their own hurt or pain in their own story.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm just right, if people got healthy and acknowledged, like, I've got pain in my story that I need to address, that just looks really different as a leader versus that feels too hard, I'm going to stuff it and behave in a completely different way.
Yeah. And take it out on those around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason that, like, so many stinking pastors are, like, full blown narcissists, you know, think of Chuck DeGroat's episode on when narcissism comes to church and just, like, how that position already, like, builds a narcissist in a way, like, having a platform, you're like, all these people are listening to you every week, but also that we're training leaders in the church to not understand their emotions and to go lead a bunch of people and have power over them. You know, you're like, it's like a powder keg that you're just like, have a match that you're like next to, you know? And I think we've set our culture up in the church to get exactly what we're getting right mm-hmm. now. And I mm-hmm. think the emotional piece of that is a huge aspect to what we're getting right now, or, you know, the consequences of what we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, why I think it's important to have these conversations is because it's one of those things that you have to keep going back to. It's not like you grow in self-awareness or go to therapy and then everything's all good. You have to be committed to continuing the work. And so I think that's why mm-hmm. the conversation is so important. Like, to me, it mirrors that of like a walk with Christ. Like, we don't accept Jesus, hopefully, and say like, well, I'm good, and then live our life in a like never return to community, to scripture, to worship, to all of these pieces. Like, it's this ongoing journey of growing in relationship with Jesus. And I think growing in emotional intelligence is very much the same. Like, we're always uncovering, hopefully, parts of ourselves, growing in knowledge and wisdom about who we are and how we function. That it's, to me, it's never something that you've mastered. There's always space to grow. And I think, like, that's a really important part of it. And I think that's why we talk so much about therapy and mental health, and because it's a conversation that's ongoing. And so it's not a go to therapy, you know, 6 months and then everything's fine. It's a, like, you may work with a spiritual director and realize some things. You may go to therapy. You may talk with a friend. Like, but hopefully this is an ongoing thing for you, that you are continuing to, you know, grow in your emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Well, I think you see a lot too. There's so much to be unlearned about, like, our family system that we grew up in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is so ingrained in us. We can't see past it a lot of times. And I think, like, the unlearning of, like, all those behaviors that we've built up all of those years just takes so much time. And I feel like the older I've gotten, the more devious the brokenness in my life, you know, you think you sort of have a grasp on something in your life. Like, for me, just like, caring what people think, like, I think I finally get a grasp. And then you realize in a moment how that takes a totally different shape that you never expected. Mm-hmm. And you see it over here and how you've been handling this situation. And you're like, no, I thought I was doing better. But those just, like, ingrained patterns that we've existed in for such a long time just show themselves more and more the longer we go about this life.
You know? Yeah. And so, I mean, I think if you're listening, like, a couple of important things. Like, one of the reasons that I love Life Church is, even before I was a therapist in the role that, like, the work I'm doing now, therapy has always, always, always been normalized at our church.
Yeah. And we've always had a lot of therapists at the church too, which is helpful yes, for that.
You know? Yes. But I mean, I think it's worth looking around and being like, what is said from the pulpit about therapy? What is said from the pulpit, or your small group leader, or the people who are influencing your faith about mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, kind of all of these pieces? Or maybe it's just that, you know, there is shame associated with your emotional state. Like, have you surrounded yourself with people who are encouraging emotional health or telling you to be a different way? I think those are some of the things, like, if you're in a church community, you want to be looking for. Like, is therapy normalized? Are people talking about some of these things? And so, you know, maybe your role is to be the voice to say, I can't tell you the number of people that I see as a therapist who have thought about coming into counseling, but they needed a friend to say, like, oh yeah, I've seen a therapist for years, and normalize that. So maybe that's your role in the church. Like, if you are already going to therapy and you love it and it's been helpful, like, to the level you feel comfortable, it's great to share with friends, because you may normalize for someone else who's on the fence that's important, but that may be within your church community. You may be the person who gets to decide, like, I'm going to help my church understand that this is valuable and important. And then how is that met? You know, if no right. one's supporting you, maybe you need to look around and make sure that, like, you as a whole person, your needs are being met. Because I think acknowledging emotional health is a part of our wholeness, and to totally neglect that part of who we are and who we're created to be is just, is not healthy or helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And has some, you know, can be detrimental to relationships and just our lives in general. And I think for too long we have existed in that place, and we're seeing a lot of consequences of that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I also think we're just at a time in the world, like I've probably said on previous episodes, if like at least in the pandemic, I think there has just been an overall acknowledgement that mental health is real and exists, as we've unfortunately seen just a spike in poor mental health. Mm-hmm. But I think with that, it's like, so what are we doing about it? And so this may be, you know, this may be your time. If you're listening and thinking, I can't get past mad, sad, and angry, like it could be time to talk about therapy. And I think if you've listened at all, you would know that we would support that. And I think it's important to like care enough about yourself that you're willing to seek that out. Like you matter enough to care for your mental and emotional health.
Amen. I think that's good. So get out there and go feel your emotions.
Yep. Find a good therapist.
Indeed. Cool. Well, JJ, do you think I feel like we nailed that.
Yeah. Definitely think there's going to be more episodes about emotional health.
Indeed. I think people would love to hear that. So we'd love to hear about your emotional health story and just, you know, maybe some of your thoughts on this topic. So, you know, follow us on social media, Theology of Hustle. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Send me an email through the website. We love talking about this sort of stuff. So, well, we'll see you next time at the Magic Table.